Merry Christmas. I think the same person did that this morning. You know, we're sitting here tonight giving praise to something that happened 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago. Something that without baby Jesus, there would be no eternal hope. So often I hear people say Jesus is the reason for the season. But yet people allow the world to come in. And they allow the world to come in and control the things of Christmas. They allow the world to come in and the world wants you to focus on the world wants you to focus on things other than Jesus. The world wants you to focus on the presence. The world wants to focus on the material things. The world wants you to focus on all these other things. And it seems as though every year it gets worse. Every year it seems as though the world gets farther away from Jesus Christ. It gets further away from the love of God. When you go into the book of Revelation, you see, and you read the book of Revelation, and you see prophecy is being fulfilled at this time. As we go to sleep tonight, as we wake up tomorrow morning, we're going to be that much closer to the prophecy. Tonight, as I stand up here, and here in a few minutes, I'm going to read the Christmas story. As I read this Christmas story, I ask for you to ponder something in your life. Tonight, what is your focus? Are you focused on the material aspect of Christmas? Are you focused on the gifts? Or are you focused on the true meaning of Christmas? The true meaning of Christmas is about a baby boy. It was born of a carpenter and a virgin. And this baby boy, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, he was expected to be of some big, gigantic soldier, some royal family. But baby Jesus was born of a carpenter. Tonight I'm asking you, have you experienced the love of Jesus Christ? Have you accepted the one and only gift of Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. And God's Word tells us that once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it can never be taken away from you. That once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's eternal. It's something that can never be taken away from you. What that means for me is the moment that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, it gave me a new beginning in life. It gave me a new beginning to where all the mistakes that I had made in my past had been forgotten. They'd been forgotten and they'd been forgiven by the blood that Jesus Christ shed on that cross. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of love. He loved us so much. God loved us so much that He was willing to forgive us of our sins. He was willing to forgive us of our mistakes. And He sent His only Son to pay the consequences for our mistakes. To pay the consequences for our sin. That's how much God loves you. Tonight, as you're sitting around with your family. Tomorrow, as you're sitting around the table with your family. Why don't you take a time to resolve the differences in your family? To share that love that Christ had for us with your brothers, with your sisters, with your family. To me, that's what Christmas is. Christmas is God giving His Son, loving us enough to give us His Son so that we would have everlasting life. He loved us that much. And He wants us to extend that same love and that same forgiveness to those that we know. Tonight, where is your focus? I said I wouldn't keep us long. I'm going to keep my promise because I know several of you have places to go, places to eat, things to get out of the oven and such. So tonight, like I said, I wanted to take a little bit of time to share the Christmas story. This is something that I do with my family every year as we sit down at the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. As we wake up the very next morning on Christmas Day, we wake up and we go in front of the Christmas tree and we sit down and we share the story of God. Because I want my children to know that Christmas isn't about gifts. It's not about material. It's about the spiritual. It's about Jesus and what Jesus did for us. And I want my kids to know how much Jesus loves them. And if I'm not willing to express that same type of love that Jesus extended to me, my kids aren't going to know about it. So I'm going to begin reading in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And it says, "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly." Listen to this next verse. "As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" He will save his people from their sins. "All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. 'Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God is with us. This can be seen in Isaiah chapter 7. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus." Now I'm going to skip over to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 2 of Luke. "At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Jesus was born in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is this Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the first star appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for this child. And when you find him, come back and tell me, so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. That's the true meaning of Christmas, folks. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about that little baby boy that was born over 2,000 years ago, that gave his life for me and you. He gave his life for me and you. Now, I tell you, I've been through some trials. I've been through tribulations in my life. And I'm sure each and every one of you sitting here tonight have been in the same boat. But the difference in my life in getting through the trials and the tribulations that I've faced in my life is I try to allow Jesus to handle those trials and those tribulations. I try to turn them over to Jesus. Because He seems to have the answers that I don't have. And it seems as though when I turn these trials and these tribulations that I faced in my life over to God, great things have came out of them. My daughter came to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior through the death of a family member. As I said this morning, suffering and trials, they're to make you stronger and they're to make you more reliant on Jesus Christ. Tonight, do you have this gift that was given to us 2,000 years ago? Do you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? As I shared this morning, as you wake up in the morning or if you open up gifts tonight, the gifts under your tree are just temporary. They break, they wear out, they eventually end up in the junk. Jesus Christ doesn't work that way. Jesus Christ glows forever. Jesus Christ lives in your heart forever. Jesus Christ has conquered death, hell, and the grave. Tonight is a time to praise God for that reason. Due to the fact that Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave, tonight we have victory. No matter how dark it seems at this point in your life, no matter how dark it seems as you're going through the trials and the tribulations that you're facing in your life right now, it just gets better, folks. It just gets better. You simply have to be willing to turn those things over to God, and you simply have to be willing to allow God to do what He wants to do through them. And on top of that, God needs you. God wants you. He wants you. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior. But He doesn't just want you to be His Lord and Savior. He wants you to help grow His kingdom. He has a calling for you. And in order to grow His kingdom, He's got to have us as the workers. He's got to have us as the servants. It's up to us to go out and to proclaim the good news. God put the good news in the Bible for a reason. He wants us to go out and to proclaim it. He doesn't want it to just sit here in the Bible. He wants us to go out and to live it. He wants us to go out and share that love, that same love that God extended through us when He gave us Jesus 2,000 years ago. Are you extending that love tonight? Do you have that love tonight? Do you have that gift that God's Word just spoke about? I'm going to ask Brian to come up, and I'm going to ask David to lead us in a song of invitation before we go into our little candlelight portion. Because if you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, folks, let tonight be the night that you do accept God as your Lord and Savior. I pray that tonight would be the night that you experience the joy that only Jesus can provide in your life. This world, it's a dark place. God created it in the perfect image, but man messed it up when sin came into the world. But I tell you what, the light shines just as bright as it did 2,000 years ago. Do you have that light shining in your heart? If you don't, please, get down on your spiritual knees and talk to God tonight. Brother David.